Welcome to Just Saying It on the Sports Map Radio Network.
You know what I'm saying? I think you do.
Here's Cole Thompson.
No matter what time zone you're in, sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Welcome on into Just Saying It right here on the Sports Map Radio Network. Cole Thompson back in the driver's seat, getting you caught up on everything you might have missed headed into a terrific Tuesday morning action. 800-224-2004. Call on the show. Tell us what you like. Tell us what you hate. Let's be real. You love everything about this show. We know you love everything about this show. And we want to hear from you, the listeners, so make sure you dial on in, 800-224-2004, at Mr. Cole Thompson on Twitter, at Sports Map Radio. You can download the Just Saying It podcast version of the show on iTunes, Spotify, YouTube, Audio Boom, wherever else you get your podcast listening systems. We got you covered 24/7, 365 days out of the year. And do me one more favor. Make sure that you download the Sports Map Radio app, carry it in your pocket throughout your day. That way you don't miss a second of all of our great local programming. The wonderful, delightful Michael Hernandez on the other side of the glass producing. We got a fun 3 hours planned ahead. And if you are awake at this time, go ahead and stream and watch us live on YouTube. You can go ahead and follow us on YouTube as well. At Mr. Cole Thompson is the name. We're locked and loaded in, and we're here for the next 3 hours. Giving you compelling content that you're going to want to stick around for. The Chargers. Good God. Another year. Another hype. Another major expectation. Planned ahead. Can't go ahead and even close it out against the Tennessee Titans. What's going on with Brandon Staley and this AFC West franchise? Two Monday Night Football games. Two great matchups on paper. Two snooze fests that don't need to be on television anymore. Let's also talk about Alabama football. They have their quarterback of the future with the likes of Jalen Milroe now officially under center for the remainder of the season as conference play is set to begin. And of course, we do have our top 10 after last night's debacle. We have Trivia Tuesday. We're locked and loaded and rolling on a Tuesday morning action. And we begin discussing what we saw last night at Asher, whatever the hell you want to call it, Heinz Field. 26-22 victory for the Pittsburgh Steelers. But good God almighty, when you turn on this game, when you tell yourself, well, I'm going to be watching spit-swapping football, old school, ground and pound, mean machine type of gridiron game, that's what you're expecting in this matchup, that's what you're hoping for in this game, and you didn't get any of it. You got sloppiness, you got ineptness, you got horrendous play calling, you got some highlight plays from the defense, unlike at least for Pittsburgh, but that's about it in this matchup. There were times where you're going back and you're saying to yourself, do I want to stay up? Do I really want to be tired in the morning? Do I want to be able to have myself, you know, a good night's sleep? And probably some of you tuned out the game, and I would not blame you. In fact, I would say most of you probably had better things on your mind. You had other things that were on the television, especially with baseball winding down. You want to say your fond farewell to teams that have already been eliminated and those who are in a playoff push. Want to pay attention to that? You probably have the reason to. But let's go ahead and talk about the game in itself because of what happened last night was a clear indication that the Steelers are in trouble, but the Browns, they're in X game level DEFCON 5 trouble. It is not pretty. It is not close to being good. And you now are in a pickle. So let's just go ahead and start off with the sad news first. Nick Chubb's done for the year. One of the best running backs in the NFL. One of the pioneers and potent players that absolutely has been the staple, the heartbeat, the mantra, the team feel for an organization since coming out of Georgia, beat the odds, got a brand new contract, actually has lived up to the contract when it comes to paying for running backs. Yeah, he's done for the year. No more. They don't know what's going to happen to him. They don't know what the severity is of the knee injury he suffered in the second quarter, but his season has come to a finish. They're going to be without him. And the problem with that is not losing a stellar running back. Running backs grow on trees, according to what people tell me all the time. You don't need an elite running back to be special in the NFL. And I'm not disagreeing with you. Patrick Mahomes last year had Isaiah Pacheco being his lead guy going into the Super Bowl. They still hoisted up a Lombardi trophy. When you saw the San Francisco 49ers go to the playoffs in 2019 and play against Mahomes in the Super Bowl, they had like three different guys, all of them undrafted free agents. Jeff Wilson, Raheem Mostert. I'm blanking on the third guy, but you get my drift here. You don't really have an elite running back in Los Angeles. They were able to win a Super Bowl that season in 2022. So you don't need an elite running back to be special, but you do need a great running back right now if this is going to be your passing attack led by Deshaun Watson. Watson is washed. Watson is woeful. Watson is the problem. And after paying $230 million for a quarterback to be your savior, the piece that would take you over the edge, the guy who was supposed to be the right purpose and the clear-cut indication that your persona is trending in the right direction, once again, he craps the bed. Once again, he becomes the problem. And once again, he is the issue with this team. There's no other way to put it. You go ahead and you trade away three first-round picks, multiple mid-round picks, and you also give up, can't believe I'm saying this, multiple years on a brand new contract. Not the one that he signed with Houston, I might add in, because Houston had him locked up on a four-year deal that you could have said, we'll trade all this asset for you and we'll bring you on in. But Deshaun Watson, he didn't want to play in Cleveland. Nope. No, he wanted to go to Atlanta. He wanted to go to Carolina. He wanted to be a part of New Orleans. Stay in the southern region. Be around family. And then Jimmy Haslam wrote him a blank check and said, how much you want? And he said, $230. And he signed it, handed it off, and said, come on board. Welcome to Cleveland. And that's how this deal got done. And so far, in two games this year, he has completed 55.1% of his passes. He has two touchdowns, two interceptions. He also has a fumble, one rushing touchdown. He's averaging 5.6 yards per pass attempt, a passer rating of 69.1, and he's 1-1 as a starting quarterback, and the only reason he's not 0-2 is because the defense had a performance to remember against Cincinnati Bengals. Last season, go back to last year, in just a handful of games, I think it was six games if I'm not mistaken, 58.2 completion percentage, 79.1 passer rating, 7 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. So in 9 games since trading for a $230 million quarterback that automatically was going to come with the headache of the PR, was going to come with the entire persona of the outlook that happened the year prior because the sexual allegations made against him, and because of all of the scrutiny that you would undergo because this was supposed to be your guy, he's completed less than 60% of his passes. He has 9 touchdowns against 7 interceptions. He has a passer rating of under 71. And right now, you are trusting him to be your guy. You are trusting him to be the sole reason you have a shot of going to the playoffs. You have the opportunity to be one of the best teams in the NFL. Nope. I'm sorry. I'm done. I'm done. And so should you, Browns fans. You should just immediately punt on the season. Go ahead and enjoy your Sundays, picking through fences, cleaning up your apartment, going out with your girlfriend, enjoying the slums of your city. That's what you should be doing. Because if you are trusting a $230 million quarterback to deliver these type of games, you ain't going anywhere. It's a done year. It's automatically over. There's no hope. There's no relegation. And there's no positivity in your future. There isn't. There's nothing to look forward to. Deshaun Watson last night had one touchdown pass. He had two face mask calls. Two. He allowed two touchdowns to go in the opposite direction for the Pittsburgh Steelers, one of which was on a bobble pass to open the game, and the other one was on a fumble strip sack to where TJ Watt, on a night he became the all-time leader in sacks for Pittsburgh, rushed it in to take the lead. And then when you call on your quarterback to give you the performance to remember, a $230 million performance, why you signed the brand new deal to win close games and keep your season afloat. He can't even connect with any of his receivers. He can't find a way to evade pressure, and he collapses under his own pressure to bringing out a one-on-one. I would believe in this Browns team if they had Nick Chubb, because the defense still made a couple big stops. They only finished with two sacks of the night. Doesn't really matter. They had pressure basically every single play on Kenny Pickett. I would believe in this receiving core because Amari Cooper still is showing you why he is a very underappreciated receiver. Elijah Moore is getting more targets. David Njoku's not an elite tight end by any means, but he's serviceable. And the offensive line, albeit, is hurt because you don't have a guy like Jack Conklin out there, but you still have good players. I'd believe in this team. I absolutely would. But now I'm trusting Deshaun Watson to be my guy. And in last night's game, you had to go ahead and put faith in a $230 million flop when so far this season and last season, he has been the problem. Deshaun Watson single-handedly did not lose you that game last night. But much like when the wind was sucked out of the stadium after Nick Chubb was carted off, the season's outlook has been sucked away because of this is the guy that you're trusting to lead your team. This is the guy that you're paying an exuberant amount of cash to be the reason and sole proprietor that a Lombardi trophy is within reach. Now, it's not. It's even further back than before you had Baker Mayfield. Because at least with Baker, the one thing you can say is he led your team to the playoffs. He showed you heart. He showed you grit. He showed you determination. All you saw last night was me, Deshaun Watson. And I can't tell you this enough, most fans couldn't be happier.
You're listening to Just Saying It on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Cole Thompson.
You can always watch the show live every morning here on YouTube. You can also download all 3 hours of the podcast form on iTunes, Spotify, YouTube, Audio Boom, or wherever else gets podcast listening systems. And if you want to call on in, do so. We would love to talk to you about your favorite quarterback and my favorite quarterback, Deshaun Watson's dismay in a 26-22 loss last night to the Pittsburgh Steelers. 800-224-2004. Speaking of the Pittsburgh Steelers, what's going on? Seriously, what's happening here? Because of when I last talked about Pittsburgh, I said that this was going to be one of the more underlying, underrated teams for 2023. And I truly bought into that. I thought their defense was going to be great. I thought their offensive line was going to hold a block. I thought that their run game was going to be serviceable. Not elite by any standards. You don't have a Nick Chubb or a Derrick Henry, or better yet, let's just go with the more safe name like a Saquon Barkley or an Austin Eckler who can do a little bit of everything in your backfield. But you have a guy in Najee Harris, and you have a decent backup in Jalen Warren. And Kenny Pickett looked like the second coming of basically Kirk Cousins, but on steroids after a dominant preseason. You got to remember, Pickett in the preseason played five total drives. He finished with five scoring drives. He had three touchdown passes. He looked clean, cut, and precise, throwing the football around. Had a little bit more zip on the pass. Seemed confident. Actually looked like he was going to defy the odds of being a Mac Jones clone and maybe closer towards what you would say Kirk Cousins truly is. Because I make the joke all the time. Mac Jones is a decent quarterback because he's Kirk Cousins light. That's who I believe in with Mac Jones. But then you go and you see last night's game and you look at the first game and you go, well, what's that version of Kenny Pickett? Where's the guy that was completing 70% of his passes? Where's the guy that's throwing howitzers or deep shots or clean, precise passes to where only his receiver can make a play on the football? Where's that guy? Because not only was he terrible against a very good San Francisco 49ers defense, but he was terrible against a good, but not elite, Cleveland Browns defense. Finished 15 of 30 with 222 passing yards, one touchdown, one interception, passer rating of 71.8. He was sacked twice, I'll give him that. and he was under duress all night. This offensive line couldn't hold a block to save itself if they tried. That's how bad it looked at times. But in the same token, if you know this is your situation, you have to make the best case scenario. That's what you do. That's what good quarterbacks do. That's what players who can elevate their team status do all the time. And that has not been the case in the slightest so far for Kenny Pickett through two games. In fact, he might be one of the reasons why Pittsburgh hasn't come out swinging sluggishly rather than swinging swimmingly. That might be the best way to put it at this point. It may not be Kenny Pickett. It may not. Now, I'm not going to go out and say I'm all in on the Pickett hype train like I was in the preseason. I drank the Kool-Aid. I now have to pay the price. And you can play those clips any single time throughout the rest of the week or throughout the rest of the year if you want to, whenever Pickett has a bad game. That's on me. My apologies. But sometimes you have to realize your situation, and it's a little bit out of your control. Matt Canada has got to be the worst offensive coordinator in the NFL. Can we all agree with that one? Matt Canada has got to be not only way in over his head when it comes to play calling, but there's no passion. There's no play design. There's no positivity with his overall roster construct. He, in fact, on more times than not, feels like he's putting Kenny Pickett in danger of not only being under duress, but also in danger of losing his confidence. Because confidence is always key, people. Let me explain real fast. When you're a young quarterback, if you lose that swagger, that demeanor, that positivity that excites you, that makes you feel like that you can take on the world, once you lose that, you're basically just a dead fish on open air. You're gasping for air. You are begging for someone to put you back into the water. And you know at this point you're going to be turning into fish sticks. That's what you are when you're a quarterback that loses his confidence. You're flopping everywhere. And last night was very clear indication that it is starting to feel that way with Kenny Pickett, but it may be due to the play design. Like, take this for example. There's little over 2 minutes left on the clock. You need a first down. You need one first down to go ahead and seal this game. Not get the ball back to Deshaun Watson. Give fantasy owners everywhere a boost of confidence that congratulations in close matchups, I'm going to come away with the victory. You give yourself the opportunity to not only give fans a reason to start heading to the exits, but also give fans a reason to believe, hey, it's a good win. We found a way. We fought back. It's ugly, but you know what? Usually these division games happen that way. And you call a design quarterback run not up the middle, but to the outside. So much so that ESPN is able to actually pigeonhole and pull up the stats saying, this is what they're going to do on third down. This is the exact play they're going to run. It's going to be an outside counter. They're going to go ahead and try and get the yards around the likes of the defensive end. And nobody was shocked when Kenny Pickett went down and you gave the ball right back to Cleveland for one last drive and one last prayer and hope. It's bad play calling. It's atrocious play design. It's non-creative. It's lacking positivity. It's lacking pizzazz. And honestly, this was a fireable offense, in my opinion. Now, here's the good news if you are Matt Canada, the offensive coordinator. Pittsburgh is one of those teams that goes by the books. They handle their business internally. They'll let you know, yeah, you're done at the end of the year, but you get to stick around for at least part of the year. You're not going anywhere. Randy Fitchner was one of the worst play design coordinators in 2021, and he got to stay until the year came to a close. The second that the clock hit zero, go ahead and pack up your bags. You're out of here. So Matt Canada, you're stuck with him the rest of the year if you're Pittsburgh. But you're also kind of stuck right now dealing with the Kenny Pickett problem. Because Pickett, yeah, he had a really good pass. 77-yard touchdown to George Pickens. Guess what? Outside of that, not a lot of positivity. Had a couple good throws that went for first downs. Had a couple plays to where they kept the drive alive. He showed a little bit more mobility and confidence that he could play behind a makeshift offensive line. But even then, it wasn't great. I mean, even then, it was terrible at times. And this is what you're dealing with. So you can't run the football because of last night you only averaged 2.6 yards per play. On 21 carries, you finished with less than 60 yards. You can't really throw the football deep downfield because Pickett's arm, it doesn't work that way. And he's not going to have enough protection up front for you to be able to probably get that throw downfield. Like, he may get one throw per game that will be 25 yards. And even then, you got to connect. He can't overthrow it. The receiver can't outrun it. So the timing has to be on point. And on top of all of that, you also don't have the creativity from the offense coordinator to dial up something that gives you at least a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel. The reason why Pittsburgh still might be a playoff team is this defense is elite. I was right on that one. This defense is so damn good. From Alex Highsmith to TJ Watt to not having Cam Hayward, but instead you have the young guy, Keanu Benton, stepping up. You have Joey Porter Jr. making plays in coverage. You have a veteran in Patrick Peterson. You have Minkah Fitzpatrick, which hopefully he'll be healthy moving forward because he last night left. He went to a local hospital to go get checked out with a chest injury. Hopefully he'll be content. This defense is great. They got 25.5 points last night in fantasy football. They got four turnovers in the game, not to mention two touchdowns. They're going to keep you involved in games, and you're 1-1. And now the schedule might be a little bit more promising for you. You got games against the Raiders, and you got games against the Texans. So by the end of the month, you could be 3-1 and on a three-game winning streak. But this play design, with this offensive personnel, with this construct, you're not winning many games. And you're certainly not putting yourself in the Super Bowl category, let alone probably the division category. Baltimore. Baltimore did not have its starting left tackle. It did not have its starting center. It did not have one of its premier receivers in the second half of the game. It lost its lead running back. It lost its star defensive back. It lost one of its key contributors on special teams. It lost also one of its starting cornerbacks. And they would have won by 15-plus points last night. That's what this team looks like. That's what the adversity a team like Baltimore can overcome. And Pickett, I love him to death. I do. I think that he is going to be a quarterback that maybe sticks around in the NFL, but he's got to pick it up. Because you got to remember, not only is he a second-year player, he's 25. At 25 years old, that clock is ticking. That internal precision is dialed up to 10,000. Because if you can't deliver now, the older you get, the same mistakes that you're making are going to continue to pile up. They're going to continue to be a problem, and they're going to be uncorrectable at some point. So he has got to hone in on his shtick, and the offensive play calling has got to get better. Pittsburgh got a win last night. Their defense looked phenomenal. But if you're going to be down to the wire and trusting this offense to win you a game, you're not winning a lot this year.
This is Just Saying It on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Cole Thompson.
He sits behind the glass, playing with my emotions, toying with my heartstrings, and making me question everything that I know about sports. If you know the music, you know what time it is. It's Trivia Tuesday right here on Just Saying It, 800-224-2004. It's a very simple concept that we play by. I get seven or more right, I win the round. I get three or more wrong. Congratulations, Michael. He wins the round. The Quizmaster himself has dominated this competition since we started last year. Michael, what would you say my winning percentage is? 12? 13?
5?
7? 7 and a half? Yeah, you know what? Yeah, I don't really care. We're going to go. I'm going to go today with 7. I'm going to say that like I'm probably at about a 7. But NFL trivia right around the corner. Let's go ahead and hopefully see me come out on top. I never do, never am able to, but let's just see if today is the day where I get more than 7 right. Michael, what's our first question?
Question 1. What year was the NFL founded?
The NFL. Are we talking about the merger, or are we talking about when it was like the AFL and the NFL?
NFL.
So just the NFL.
NFL.
I'm gonna screw this up because I'm gonna say one thing and then I'm gonna mean the other. Because the merger happened in 1961, if I'm not mistaken. But the NFL started like, I don't know, what was it? Probably 1932. I'm gonna go with my gut and just say we're going with the current NFL. 1961, final answer. Yep, see, there we go. Let me guess. It was the 30s, right?
1920.
See? Yep. Knew it was going to be that. Knew it was going to be that, too. Knew that you were going to go ahead and pull out that crap and be like, oh, no, 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 no. Not the American Football League. Not the National Football League. No, just the National League. The one that actually started. That one. So there we go. We're already off to a glorious start this morning. Beautiful, beautiful morning.
Question two.
The sun was shining. I was driving on in. It was a wonderful day. I thought I had hope in my eyes. And then look at that. I'm already down 0-1.
Who has the record for most sacks in a game?
Can I ask out of curiosity, are we talking about a guy in the 70s or are we talking about a guy more current? That's all I'm going to say.
Not in the 70s.
So more current than the 70s?
Yes.
Okay. I'll go with the guy who has the most sacks of all time. I'll think that he probably at least did it once in a game. Was it Bruce Smith of the Buffalo Bills? Final answer. Great. Was it Michael Strahan?
No.
All right, who was it?
It was Derek Thomas.
That should be my next guess. What year was it? 1997?
1990.
Wow. Okay, I thought it was a little bit later in his career.
7 sacks.
7 in a game? Man. Because Chandler Jones got 5 in one game, and I almost went there. I was like, okay, that's pretty close. That's got to be at least somewhat of a record. But no, all right, 7. Good for you, Derek Thomas. Roll Tide.
Question number
Michael,
3.
Did you know he went to Alabama, the greatest school on earth, that place?
Who was the 1982 MVP?
The 1982 MVP. Okay, think this one through. 1982, that was one of the years that Washington won it, I'm not mistaken. Was it a wide receiver?
Could be.
Wait a minute. I think I know this one. I think I do. He was a kicker. What was his name? He played for Washington. I know it too. Mark something. Mark Mosley. Final answer. Boom. Back on top. Somehow you remember the most random nonsense ever, and that's how you go ahead and get points. Good for me, Cole. Should not have gotten that one right.
Question number 4. What was the first team in NFL history?
Who was the first team in NFL history? Okay. I'm pretty sure... The Bears are up there. I know that. No. It is Chicago. I know that. And they're now in Arizona. It was the Chicago Cardinals. They were founded in like 1890 or something like that. And then the Bears came around and then the Packers came around. But it's the Cardinals of Chicago. Boom. And the only reason I know that is because my dad brings up Decatur Staley all the time. And he also brings up how the Cardinals, he's always like, oh, no, Cole, you got to remember, there was once a team in Chicago before the Bears. They live out, and then they went to St. Louis, and then they went out to Arizona. Yeah, I get it, Dad. I understand. The Cardinals did it. I'm 2 for 2 now. Now we're rolling.
Question 5.
All right, cool.
Who was the last player not in the backfield to win MVP?
Who is the player not in the backfield to win MVP? So we're talking about wide receivers count, right?
Last player not in the backfield.
Okay. So we got to go back a while because quarterbacks have basically dominated the award for years. Okay. So, and if it's not a quarterback, it's a running back. So the last guy to get it who wasn't a quarterback was Adrian Peterson in 2012. And then there was LT, and then there was Sean Alexander. And there was like Barry Sanders a few years. Was it Lawrence Taylor in 1986? When he played for the Giants. Boom! Now I'm rolling. Now I feel good about myself. Now I'm doing it, Michael. Now you're coming to pay. Now I'm getting 8 in a row.
Question number 6. What team did Peyton Manning break the single season passing touchdown record against?
Against? Oh, God. Okay. Hold up. So Peyton, I think, did it when he was in Denver. if I'm not mistaken. So if he did it when he was in Denver, it'd probably be against an AFC team. I swear to God, if it's the Chargers, I swear to God, that's just the string of bad luck. I'll go Raiders just because I think that's probably a safer bet at this point. Raiders have always sucked, so yeah, I'll go Raiders. Final answer. Was it the Chargers?
No.
Who was it?
It was the Texans.
Of course it was. He probably... And you know what the thing is? I could say that he threw it up to T.Y. Hilton, but I can't because T.Y. Hilton was the machine that absolutely dominated Houston for years, but he only played with Andrew Luck. He never played with Peyton. So I was like, oh yeah, probably 240-yard game.
Question number 7.
Sure, why not? Game's over. Can't miss another one.
Who was the only NFL player in history to win Super Bowl MVP on the losing team?
Oh, I know this one. Who was it? Who was this man? It was like in the 80s too, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, it was. Wasn't Phil Simms? Was it Mark Rippon of the Washington football team or whatever it was? Sure.
Chuck Howley.
Howley was it. That's it. Okay. I should have known that one too. Yeah, and that was who do you play for? The Cowboys?
Cowboys Super Bowl V.
That was it. It was Cowboys. And it was who did they play that year? Kansas City or but no, Baltimore Colts. Colts. That's right.
Question number 8. Which kicker for the Bills missed a 47-yard field goal in the Super Bowl to lose to the Giants?
What the hell was his name? What the hell was his name? Because I know the Super Bowl because it was the one where it was Otis Anderson. Who was it? Norwood. Scott Norwood. Boom. Okay, cool. I mean, it doesn't matter. I'm only going to get 6 right or fewer, so.
Question 9. Which team set an NFL record for most consecutive losses with 26?
Oh, that's got to be the Browns. That's got to be the Browns. If it's not the Browns. It's the Lions or the Browns. It has to be. I'm going to go Browns. It just feels right because they would have lost all those games right before the 0-17 season to where they got the number one pick, and then they lost that. They lost the same, then they lost a few. So the Browns, final answer. Sure. Who was it?
The 76-77 Buccaneers.
Really? 26 game? Wow. Wow. All right, whatever. Sure. Screw it.
And number 30, which NFL team has the most retired jersey numbers?
Number 30?
The most retired jersey numbers.
No. You said question number 30. Most retired jersey numbers. It's got to be an older team. It's not the Bears. I know that. I don't think it's the Packers. Give me the Cowboys. Final answer. No. Give me the Packers. Final answer. Sure.
The Bears.
And I was right. See? Listen to your intuition, Cole. You're not a freaking moronic nitwit. Well, yes, you are, because you only got 5 right. Congratulations, Michael.
4.
Fine, Michael. 4. Trivia Tuesday, right here on Just Saying It, loser.
You're listening to Just Saying It on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Cole Thompson.
Welcome back into Just Saying It right here on the Sports Map Radio Network. Cole Thompson in the driver's seat, getting you caught up on everything you might have missed. Headed into a terrific Tuesday morning action for everyone besides Browns fans. And let me tell you about my friends over at Splash Sports. Splash Sports and Sports Map Radio have partnered together this upcoming NFL season to help you put a little bit more cash in your pocket. It's a very simple concept. You sign on up either at Sports Map Radio or the Just Saying It pool, and you play in one of our 2 facets. The first one is the Survivor pool. Plain and simple, people. Win the most games and come out on top. Pick a winner every single week, and you will walk away with a big cash prize. Here's the caveat. Once you pick a team, you can't choose them again. So hopefully you got your money in last night when it came to Pittsburgh. Maybe you choose to go ahead and pick Pittsburgh next week. But after you choose them, can't take them again. But you can't take Baltimore. You can't take Cleveland. I don't know why you would, but you could. You could take Cincinnati. And if you come out with the most wins at the end of the day, you, my friends, win all the cash prize. The second one is our X pool. You sign on up. You pick the most winners. You can get 16 out of 16 right. Awesome. You can get 15 out of 16 right. Cool. 14, 13, whatever the winner is. But second and third place also get a little bit of a cash prize. It's legal in 33 states. You can go ahead and sign up today at splashsports.com/sportsmapradio or splashsports.com/justsayingit. $5 to win a countless amount of cash. Don't miss out on the action. splashsports.com/sportsmapradio and splashsports.com/justsayingit. 800-224-2004. I got a bone to pick with the NFL real fast. I do. I usually don't have problems when it comes to the league. I get it. Rules suck. You don't go ahead and care about a lot of different things. You're basically paying for a quarterback that shouldn't be in the NFL to go ahead and start. Those are fine. No more two doubleheader Monday Night Football games. No more of it, okay? Can we all agree? Last night's performance, whether it be you watching Carolina collapse to the New Orleans Saints, who now are somehow 2-0, or the Pittsburgh Steelers getting an old-school ass-whooping on the likes of Cleveland, that's fine. But it was not a fun watch. Like, nobody was enjoying switching back and forth television screens, unless you were on YouTube TV, where you now can have that split-screen option, which sometimes really works on Saturdays for college football. But I don't think it carries over to the NFL whatsoever. Like, there was bad performances on the field, but just knowing that if you had DirecTV or Comcast or any streaming platform that wasn't YouTube TV, you had to choose back and forth, it's not a good concept. Nobody's enjoying that. Nobody is enjoying having to go ahead and change the channel to catch up with the games. And I understand, oh, well, maybe you're a fan of Carolina and you just want to check in. So here's what we're going to do. We'll give you the highlights like we do on Sundays. Hey, breakaway play. Look at that touchdown. And we'll use the stream from Fox, or we'll use the audio from another game, and then we'll catch you back up. And then what we'll do is we'll put the little screen on top and we'll say, here's what's going on in the other game. It's not good. It isn't. And let's also be fair. Most of the Monday Night Football games that we're going to catch this year are not compelling television. They're not games that we're all tuning in for. They're not matchups that we're excited to see. Monday Night Football should basically change their name instead of Monday Night Football to mediocre, nonsensical football. Because I was not enjoying any of those matchups. I mean, you go back and you watch the first half of the New Orleans Saints versus Carolina Panthers game. Horrendous performance by both teams. Like, I now have concerns about Derek Carr being a serviceable quarterback in the NFL. And I know they got the win, and you can go ahead and put a feather in the cap and say, we're 2-0, but it wasn't a good performance by either side. And then you flip the channel over to the other game, and it was pitiful. I mean, this wasn't one of those games where you're saying, oh, what an exciting performance from either. No, you're saying, good God, turn off the channel, man. I don't want to watch this. I can't go ahead and do this. I got sleep I can catch up on. I got laundry I can do. I can go ahead and take my dogs out for a nice long walk. There were better things on television than that performance. Like, go ahead, tune on out. Don't worry about those games. Don't do it at all. Because I'm very much saying at this point, if this is going to be what I'm getting on Monday nights, you're not going to catch my attention for long. 800-224-2004. So let's talk about real fast the other Monday night game. It was a snooze fest. You definitely can understand why, as of this point, we had no hope for the NFC South, because this is just a dumpster fire of a division. I don't know if Atlanta's going to be good. I trust Arthur Smith a little bit more than probably Dennis Allen, Todd Bowles, and certainly Frank Reich as of this point. But you're not feeling confident in any of these teams. Like, Tampa Bay right now is sitting at 2-0. And Baker Mayfield is looking like a decent option at quarterback. They have weapons. They have an exceptional defense. But they're going to come crashing back down to reality soon. But the one team that you did have hope in was New Orleans. I thought the Saints were a clear cut above everybody else in the division. I thought bringing over a veteran quarterback in Derek Carr would be sufficing. I thought that the run game would be salvageable with Jamal Williams, and you go get a guy in Kendre Miller, and they'll be able to keep up pace until you get back in Alvin Kamara. And just bad football. Like, Bryce Young found the end zone, and it nearly was a comeback for Carolina. And that's not what you want to see. Derek Carr, meanwhile, throws for 228 passing yards. He has 4 sacks on the day. He finishes with a 65.5 passer rating, and he can't find the end zone. They don't find a score. Tony Jones, who was a practice squad player, has the most points. And congratulations if you picked him up on waivers and fantasy. No idea why you would do that, but he didn't even finish with the most yards per game. That was Taysom Hill, the guy who's supposed to be somehow a Sean Payton experiment that he was created in a lab, is still put on these performances. Not good. Not good whatsoever. Combined, these two teams finished with over 600 total yards and less than 50 points. Less than 40 points, I might add in. They only finished with 37. They finished with a combined total of 37 first downs. They finished with a combined 11 third down conversions on 30 attempts, and they couldn't throw the football to save your life. I do not like this division whatsoever. It's disgustingly awful. I don't know who's paying attention to it, but I don't know why you would. Because I don't know who's coming away a victor. They're losing the playoffs first round. That's for damn sure. But you look at this Carolina team, and let's just focus in on them because they're the hot story. I don't think anybody is going to throw in the towel right now when it comes to Bryce Young, and you shouldn't, because he was drafted number one overall for a reason. But I have legitimate concerns with him moving forward. I am very scared for him when it comes to his approach to the game. The guy is built like a kicker, and it showed last night. He was getting manhandled, thrown around like a rag doll. The offensive line had no continuity. They weren't able to hold a block to save their life. And he finished with 153 passing yards. Yeah, he finished 22 of 33, but that's not a performance that you're putting your hat on and saying, good job, Carolina. We think that you're doing well. You are banking on this kid to be your savior, and right now he needs the number one weapon. You trade that guy away to go get the number one pick. That's what you did. DJ Moore would have been sufficing last night and probably would have helped you finish 1-1 over 0-2 if he was on the field. Now he's in Chicago and he's dealing with the basket case that is the Justin Fields experiment and a lackluster offense that can't find its rhythm or continuity. This is a bad Carolina football team. They're not good. Like, at least I can talk myself into saying Pittsburgh isn't great. Pittsburgh has its problems. They're going to be in a Kenny Pickett pickle for a while, at least throughout the rest of the year. But that defense is at least going to get you a couple wins here and there. You might finish 10-7 because that defense is going to ball out and they're going to put on a performance that keeps you in games. You don't have that right now in Carolina. You don't have a wide receiver number one that you can trust. You don't have a ground game that I think you can really trust. Miles Sanders really didn't do much last night. Bryce Young had more yards on 2 carries than Miles Sanders had on 5. You don't have a lot of things going for you right now. And I do like the coaching staff. I do like the quarterback. But you right at this moment are in trouble. There's a pickle at hand. I don't know what's going to change in the near future. I don't know what you can see that's going to be promising. But it certainly is not the performance you put on last night. And New Orleans, I'm about to do my top 10 rankings. They're not in them. I'm going to tell you right now. They're not even in my honorable mentions. Because of if this is the type of product you're putting out there, eventually when the rooster comes home to coop, you are going to feel the wrath and the burn and the undermining, underwhelming positivity that is this team. And I don't know who's winning this division. I can tell you what, though. It is not going to be a fun time. If you are a fan of any of these teams, you might as well enjoy something else on Sundays than watching this.